I can't resist. You usually move through here so quickly, and I just have so many questions I want to ask you. You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
That somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on, just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And we're drinking, as always. Damien refused my drink.
No, I offered him a drink. Tasted like, how shall I describe it? Have you ever tasted piss? Both on fire? That's pretty much.
I have to tell you that I actually saw said drink, and it was hilarious because I was told that the base was orange juice. And apparently Damien got fed up and got his own orange juice, which was actual orange juice.
Nothing else.
And when you put the two glasses beside each other, it was like a before and an after picture. Before you had, you know, orange juice, orange and all.
Pure and innocent.
It looked, yes. And then you had Andrew's concoction, which it was brown.
It tasted like the apocalypse.
I actually did not have the honor of tasting that, but I'll stick to my beer, thank you.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to taste like. I'm pretty sure. I guaranteed it, but I'm pretty sure.
Anyways, this week, I saw a ton of movies and some really interesting turnarounds with some really bad movies. Damien has his hand up.
But first...
Oh, wait, sorry, I forgot we're playing this game. Yeah, okay.
A question.
Once again, do you want to explain this game?
Sure. I will ask the panel a series of questions before each segment, which they will be tasked to answer. The one with the best answer gets a point. It's very simple.
How do you decide on the best answer?
Is there any sort of like extra points for, say, creativity or you know,
no,
longevity
one,
or anything?
You
like
can
that.
Lose a point by having a stupid answer. You can enter multiple answers, but the best one gets a point. Okay. First question. Does anyone know where I can download or buy the Pokemon short films?
I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm sorry. Can we say skip? Can we get another question?
No. Andrew. Pokemon short films.
Yes, the Pokemon short films.
Clearly. So... there's a thing, right?
Right.
I know that it only recently came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so not many people quite understand how to use it, but there's a startup. It's called Google, right? And if you don't know something, you can use this. They call it a web portal.
Right.
You can use this web portal and figure things out. Otherwise, I would say probably the... I don't know
how the fuck to answer this question is stupid.
Andrew,
I feel like this is just going to go in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told by certain individuals, certain experts on the topic, that in order to, what was the question? Download all the
Pokemon
short films.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told by experts that you have to catch them all first.
I'm glad that you two took that road. First question is, what the fuck is a Pokemon short film? Were they entered into Sundance?
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I know exactly what the Pokemon short films
are. 3 minutes long?
No. The Pokemon short films are each episodes of the Pokemon show.
It clearly says films. Did Fincher do one? That's my question. Is it part of the David Fincher short film collection? I haven't watched any. Did he do one? I'm pretty sure one an Oscar.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Actually, I think it was another David.
I'm sorry,
David,
this topic is hurting my brain. Can we move on?
Sorry. Is this person high? What? Or bye. I typed in Pokemon short films into Amazon, and Amazon rejected my phone. Alright. Andrew said you want some movies.
Yes, I want some movies. First, let me start out with the worst, the really horrible movie that I watched this week that no one should watch. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it, please just ignore it. It's called Kaboom. Oh. It's the new film by Greg Araki. I decided to watch it because I really like Mysterious Skin. This movie feels like Greg made it 20 years ago, hid it in his closet, and now that he's out of ideas, he's brought it back out, and it looks just as shameful as it did back then. The movie's horrible. The only way I can explain how horrible it is, and I think Damon is one of these people, there are people out there who loathe Donnie Darko. I had the same feeling about this movie, the way they describe their feelings towards Donnie Darko.
Okay.
And it looks worse. On to the better movies. I saw Kung Fu Panda 2, and while the movie isn't as surprising to me as the first one was,
it would have been impossible for it to, because the first one, we just assumed a Jack Black animated movie was going to softballs. I think that's
and I'm pretty sure, Andrew, that the only way that this movie could have surprised you if it actually did softball,
right? Because it went down the road it was supposed to go down.
It's a worthy sequel to the first one. It's just as fun.
That sounds good. I'm going to watch
it. And the 3D is really good. I've come to the point where I've decided that, to be honest, 3D should just be used for animated films.
Yeah,
because
sure people decided that a long time ago.
Can I tell you, Andrew, that was probably the most lackluster way in which to say that something is a worthy successor. I mean, you sounded like you hated the movie,
right?
But you know, it was a worthy sequel.
Yeah, you can't watch it.
You can't watch it. Yeah, it's really good, but you know, whatever.
It's a that art.
Look. I want to spend time on other movies. Anyways,
do this.
I kind of saw The Hangover Part 2, but I didn't hear it, so...
By the way, did you end up going on that night?
No. We had car issues.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, though.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
Is it?
Yes.
I've heard lots of bad things about it.
Did you like the first Hangover?
Of course I
liked
the first
Hangover. Okay, then stop asking stupid questions.
Alright, now to get to the movies that I really loved this week, and I'm going to go from, you know, I loved it to, I'm going to have sex with this movie tomorrow.
Can I leave? I don't think I like where this
is. The first movie I saw, which I really, really loved, was Drive Angry. It is a B movie. It revels in its B movie-ness.
-10 points.
Nick Cage is ridiculous. Amber Heard is pretty, and William Fichtner is pitch perfect on every single line in this movie. The only thing I regret about it is that since I watched it on DVD, I only saw it in 2D as opposed to 3D, because this movie looks like the B movie ridiculousness would have been a little bit more fun in 3D. It's really good. I'm sorry, I had fun with it. Another movie I saw this week, which is bloody fantastic, it's X-Men First Class. Last year, Matthew Vaughn did Kick-Ass, and then he was going to do this comic book movie, and he was going to finally go into the PG-13 with the comic books, and it's really good. Who knew casting good actors would make a property better?
That wasn't the problem with X-Men 4. The problem was Ratno. Do you remember that? Remember when shitty directors took over? There was this guy who could direct, and he made the first two, which were good, and then awesome, and then he left, and nonsense ensued since that point.
I'm sorry, I know that Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are all fantastic actors, but Michael Fassbender, I'm sorry, kicks them out of the water as far as I'm concerned right now.
I'm not willing to have this actor. I like Fassbender, but...
You shall not pass!
He has not been doing it as long as some of those other guys that you just named.
I agree.
So I don't think...
I agree.
I don't think...
I mean, he wasn't in Star Trek for 20 years, but...
And he wasn't in Lord of the Rings.
The action is really, really good, and Kevin Bacon is fantastic in it.
I feel vindicated. I told you that Bacon always brings 100% even shitty movies, and I proved it to you.
When did you prove this to me?
Beauty Shop. And you had the same reaction.
And the funny thing is, that's actually the only part of that movie I've ever watched.
Nothing else is good in that movie. You probably should watch it, it's really bad. But Jorge,
it's true, I was flicking, as I was switching through the channels, and then I saw Kevin Bacon, and I was like, what?
And then you heard him speak, and you went, what is going on? And then Latifah came back on, and he went, oh, I don't need to watch.
I still think Beast looks silly though, but whatever.
Okay.
And I think my favorite movie that I've watched this week, and I don't know if you guys have heard or seen this movie, is Wit.
Yes, with Emma
Thompson.
Yeah.
She plays 2001. It was TV film, as far as I know.
It's an HBO movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Directed by Mike Nichols. He also did The Graduate as well. And it's about this woman who's she's a scholar who studies 17th century poetry, which is all dark and brooding and about death and
with money in that racket.
And she gets cancer and has to suffer through a really thorough treatment for research. The movie is really, really sad, and I don't think I'll ever forget that line of poetry ever again.
You've entirely missed the point of the poem, because I must say you've used an edition of the text that is inauthentically punctuated. In the Gardner edition of the text...
But that edition is checked out of the line, sorry.
You take this too lightly. This is metaphysical poetry, not the modern novel. The standards of scholarship and critical reading which one would apply to any other text are simply insufficient. The effort must be total for the results to be meaningful. Do you think that the punctuation of the last line of this sonnet is merely an insignificant detail? The sonnet begins with a valiant struggle with death, calling on all the forces of intellect and drama to vanquish the enemy. But it is ultimately about overcoming the seemingly insuperable barriers separating life, death, and eternal life. In the edition you chose, this profoundly simple meaning is sacrificed to hysterical punctuation. And death, capital D, shall be no more, semicolon. Death, capital D, comma, thou shalt die, exclamation mark. If you're going for this sort of thing, I suggest you take up Shakespeare. Gardner's edition of the Holy Sonnets returns to the Westmoreland manuscript source of 1610, not for sentimental reasons, I assure you, but because Helen Gardner is a scholar. It reads, and death shall be no more, comma. Death thou shalt die. Nothing but a breath, a comma, separates life from life everlasting. Very simple, really. With the original punctuation restored, death is no longer something to act out on a stage with exclamation marks. It is a comma, a pause. In this way, the uncompromising way, one learns something from the poem, wouldn't you say? Life, death, soul, God, past, present. Not insuperable barriers, not semicolons. Just a comma.
Well, they cured cancer by the end of it, right? No? Oh.
No. Emma Thompson is fantastic. There's so many monologues in that movie where she just talks at you, and there are all these scenes where she's not so much hallucinating, but imagining a different sense of what's really happening, where she's going through like the poetry in her mind, and she decides that while she's going through it, she's going to be teaching a class. So it becomes her imagination going into this classroom and giving a lecture, and then you'll see the nurse come in and say, "We have to go for a test," and it's really awesome. That movie's great. I shouldn't have taken this long to watch it. I think that's my week.
Yeah, 10 years. Was that good list?
So I suppose it's my turn?
It usually is,
isn't it? Okay, well, I watched a few movies this week. Let's just get the bad out of the way. The first bad movie that I watched this week was Red Riding Hood. I think that's the name of it. With,
Are we talking about, Amanda, like, some 1960s Seyfried animated
Amanda
movie or something?
Amanda Seyfried and...
He's talking to Twilight.
Yes. That movie was bad, and let's not get into...
Was Gary Oldman good?
Excuse me. So I remember us watching the trailers and going, "Hey, this looks like garbage. What exactly possessed you to watch this?" You're like, I don't have any better movies to watch. I've seen everything. Let's go down this road.
I don't know.
Was it a girlfriend...
No,
choice.
Actually, it was not.
That's the funny part, because I saw him watch it alone.
Is there anyone in the movie that you're particularly fond of?
Is
a female persuasion that gets naked at any point that you've heard of?
No.
I'm not following this. Okay.
But yes, that was not a great movie. I watched another movie that I've heard isn't that great. But it's directed by David Lynch, who I have, for some ungodly reason, the utmost respect. I don't know why.
Ungodly.
It's okay.
David Lynch, you have an ungodly respect for. How many of his films have you seen?
I have
seen... Disregarding this one, of course.
I've seen a few. I don't know why none of them are popping into my head.
Mulholland Drive.
I haven't seen that one.
Eraserhead.
I haven't seen that one.
There's Blue Velvet.
I have seen that one.
Okay, well, that one is really good. The Elephant Man.
No.
Elephant Man.
Okay, continue.
I'll step on Chichima.
Two listeners will get that joke.
Okay, well, the thing about this movie is that people are right, it's kind of bad. And by kind of bad, I mean it's god awful.
What's the name of this movie?
Dune.
Ah!
One of his many collaborations with the one, the only, Kyle MacLachlan. I think that's his last name.
You're telling me a 3-hour epic about absolutely nothing happening in the desert wasn't very fun?
No, it was not. And the funny thing about
the
it was...
fighting scenes were there.
Like, don't you like Sting?
I like the way you put it. The funny thing about it is that if you step back for a moment and you kind of review the facts that have occurred...
Oh, of course.
You realize that there is actually... potential for this film to be good, and that it makes sense that this is a best-selling novel, right? But this movie is just... It's a mess. It's all over the place. It suffers from two major problems, I think. One being the...
script was garbage.
Alright, so three major problems. So the script was not good.
Okay.
Two, it suffers from the convention of old, which is that you don't need to fill in the gaps. In old movies, and I spoke about this a while back when I was talking about, is it Deliverance was the name of that movie? No, The Deer Hunter, sorry.
Okay.
And you were like, "Oh, but I like that about old movies."
Right.
And no,
their respect.
Yeah, exactly. But this one goes a little bit too far in the sense that you really get a bunch of facts,
okay,
right? And they are disconnected, right? So you have to assume a lot of things. Like, for example, I think it was a half an hour into the movie, and So, okay, really what this movie is about, it's a sci-fi film, and it's about this one planet that has this natural resource that they call the spice. There is, I guess you could call it a tribe that... Not a tribe, a clan, a people, a family. Let's call it a family. A family that runs the planet. And somehow, I don't quite understand how, because the movie never really made any sense at this point. But somehow, this family that was running the planet was, I guess you could say, deposed and forced to leave. And they left the planet, and then a new family came to run it. And then, based on some agreement, this old family came back to kill everybody.
I could just drink more beer.
I know,
this
right?
This would make more sense,
wow,
though.
Exactly. Okay, so now that I've had a sip, maybe this makes more sense to me. Now, once this old family came in, it was weird because this felt, if you just kind of try and follow, I guess, the conventions of film, when the old family comes back, it feels like, you know, it's time to get to, you know, act three. And yet, I was still only a half an hour into the movie, and there were huge gaps as to exactly what was happening. It was like, oh, the family is here. Wait, where did all of these... Like, I remember there was one scene where everything was hunky-dory, you know, the operations were going and whatnot. And the very next scene was the son writhing in pain and the father not noticing. And I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden, everybody's writhing in pain. And then there's an attack. And for me to get from everything's okay to... someone has drugged everybody and there is an onslaught occurring was a fairly wide gap, especially seeing as this is still within the first half hour of the film. But that was a major problem. Another problem was the fact that it relied way too heavily on voiceover. And sometimes the voiceover just didn't make sense. For example, there was one voiceover where I'm pretty sure I heard the Duke, who is the father of Kyle MacLachlan, say, "I tried to kill my son." And I'm not sure quite when that happened. I thought for an instant it was when he was writhing in pain, because that would make sense to me. If you see your son writhing in pain and don't realize, okay, fair enough. But no, apparently that was some doctor that was trying to infiltrate. So, I'm not sure what that was about.
Douglas, I'd like to officially welcome you to the world of David Lynch. I don't think you're ever supposed to understand anything when he makes movies.
Yeah, even TV shows. I try my hardest. I try my damnedest.
How far did you get into that show,
so
Twin
far,
Peaks?
I am a halfway through the last episode in the first season.
How many episodes is there in the season?
Like 8.
Okay.
10 maybe.
Are you doing this? Alright, so let me get this straight. Dune isn't good.
It is not good.
So all the people in the world who have said before you that Dune wasn't good
were right. Yes, they were.
And me, having seen it years ago and I've forgotten the horrors of Dune, am I still to believe that with age Dune doesn't get better?
No, you're not. You're not to believe that. You know why? Because you need to suffer my pain. I cannot be the only one
I'm
here.
I'm not watching that movie again.
Movie.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so that was the horrible movie that I saw. Now, there was a surprising movie that I watched this week as well. And that movie is the first directorial... I'm about to say the first directorial debut.
Yep,
the first directorial movie. The first movie directed by one Judd Apatow. And that is a 40-year-old virgin. And for a long time, I espoused the opinion that this was a bad movie. Mainly probably because I watched it before I was into that kind of humor. I saw a couple scenes recently and thought to myself, actually, that's kind of funny. And guess what? The movie is actually more than kind of funny. It's pretty funny. It's It's kind of good, actually. Sick. It's not at the level of Knocked Up, but it's close behind.
So you enjoy racism? That's like 90%.
Really?
Horrible, horrible racism.
Horrible racism? Why? All because the of the
Indian guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty racist.
You know what's pretty racist? Blazing Saddles. Do you like that movie?
I love them.
Exactly.
Blazing Saddles is awesome.
Blazing Saddles is horrible. Like, for a long time, I couldn't watch that movie because I was just like, this is so racist. Forget this movie. I'm not watching this movie. So...
Yes, but Blazing Saddles is one of the funniest movies that has ever been written. And 40-year-old version kind of isn't.
I would argue right, with that funniest movie ever.
Version, right. I'm pretty sure I've said that already.
40-year-old version is hilarious. But Blazing Saddles is so much better.
So you loved it?
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I appreciated it more and actually did kind of like it.
So this week I watched Limitless.
How was that?
It was okay.
Limitless. You and your I don't know what the hell is wrong.
Way more than I didn't really want to get into it, but the problem with that movie is that I'm smarter than the person that wrote that movie, which in turn makes me smarter than the smartest person to have ever walked the earth, which is kind of sad. But I enjoy it for what the movie was trying to do. It's fine.
You didn't even like the ending kind of thing? Wow.
I also saw The Hangover 2. Hey guys, did you like the first Hangover? They made a second one. And it's a little bit funnier because they have jokes to play off of from the last one. Right. Now, last week I said I was going to have words with people who are fans of Sofia Coppola's movie.
I'm right here.
And that is what I'm here to do this week.
Oh, I forgot to watch that short film. Damn
now,
it.
She's made four movies. The first one was Virgin Suicides, which I'm not a fan of. Then she made Lost in Translation, also not a fan of. Then she made The Duchess.
Marie Antoinette.
Whatever.
Which I still have
Marie
seen.
Antoinette. Which is a period movie and not one of the better ones. And then she made Nowhere or Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Anywhere, everywhere, whatever the hell that is. Now, I've tried to enjoy Sofia Coppola's movies. I have. But I keep realizing that there is something that she finds fascinating that I do not. And I realize what that is. She grew up with a father that made phenomenal movies and brought her everywhere to the point
phenomenal
where
movies like The Conversation.
To the point where he put her in one of the best series of all time and she ruined it. Now I realize what it having watched all of them in close proximity.
She was in the first movie though.
Having watched all of them in close proximity, I realize now what it is that I don't like about her movies. It is not her direction and it is not her writing. I thought it was her writing for a little while, but that is not it. Clearly, her life was so amazing that she finds absolutely mundane things interesting. And that is what all her movies are about. She revels in the mundane. Anything that she can latch onto, she can take things that should be vastly interesting and whittle away all the things that would make it interesting and narrow it down to some boring, mundane thing and then focus on that for long periods of time. In Lost in Translation, that movie is set in Japan. I don't know if you people have seen Tokyo, but it is a fascinating city.
No, I watched Tokyo Drift, yes. I
right. She somehow took what is essentially the world's New York City and made it the most... Because it's not. It's
I
not
thought a, New York City was the world's New York
no,
City.
Because New York is America's. Right? You can't shoot a movie in the state overseas and call it New York. It's not fair. But Tokyo is also the city that never sleeps. It is a fascinating city, and in every other movie where Tokyo is present, Tokyo is part of the character of the movie. She found a way to to remove that out of
no,
that movie.
No, there was one scene where there was a dinosaur walking behind them.
But
and there was karaoke.
Think about what she did for that entire movie.
No, actually, I agree with you 100% to tell you the truth.
After
that
movie,
about her
spent inside the hotel bar. Why would you do that? Why would you not find somewhere else interesting?
Well, no. There was a good 2/6 or a good sixth of this movie of Bill Murray just saying Santuri.
Yes, Santuri. And I realized that I didn't like Lost in Translation the first time I saw it. I really didn't like it this time. Even more so because I watched Somewhere before watching all of the other movies. Somewhere is terrible. It is a horrendous movie because it goes friggin' nowhere. Nothing happens. This is one of the few movies where when the movie was over, I tried to play back what happened in the movie and kept drawing blanks. Nothing progressed.
Okay, I have a question for you. Do you think that your feeling, that feeling that you have, is because of the movie overall, or do you think that it's really because of where the ending took you with relation to the rest of the movie?
No, it's with the movie overall. The first... I actually went back and looked at the timestamp. The daughter is introduced 15 minutes in. In those 15 minutes, he drove in a circle for 5.
Yeah.
There were twin strippers for 5. And then there was him walking from destination to destination for the other 5.
I remember thinking there was something wrong with my DVD when the car went around. So I was like, what's happening? What?
And then once the girl was introduced, every other movie in the world would find something to do with the daughter. It would pick up, it would go somewhere, take you from one place to another. And she, just like, I guess the start of the movie was to signify where she was going with the rest of the movie. They essentially go in circles. Nothing new happens. The daughter is with him and he does nothing. The daughter leaves him and he does nothing. He moves from point to point. There's long stretches where there's no talking. The camera sits still and he is just either standing there or looking at shit. And I really believe that it is because I'm guessing her childhood was so freaking exciting. She needs something boring to anchor her to reality, or she just take coke all day and float off into spacers. I don't understand why her movies are so mundane.
Hold on. First of all, I agree with the mundane thing, because honestly, she does revel in it. But at the same time, I think it's something special with her, because...
Oh, to be boring? Okay. I've met a lot of special people in that case.
Michael Rapaport is one of those people?
So, I'm going to talk specifically on Somewhere. I think, like, the first 15 minutes, it is hard to get through as you're watching it, because you're like, what the hell is going on here? But... And I haven't seen this movie since, like, Christmas, so I'm a little rough. But I remember focusing a lot on the fact that what you notice about this guy, even before the daughter comes in, is that because he is this Hollywood guy, which I'm sure she would know a lot about throughout her life, is that he doesn't know what to do with his life. His life is completely dictated by the people who he has hired to manage his life. He gets a phone call, tells him to be there at 8 o'clock to do an interview where he sits down for 5 hours and talks to people about stuff that he probably wouldn't want to talk about anyways. And then magically his daughter comes into his life and he starts to find a reason to do things other than being directed from the hotel room to the press conference to the awards ceremony, which he never even wanted to go to in the first place. He only made it look special because his daughter was there with him. And that is what worked for me. The ending I will not defend. It, like, honestly, I wanted that movie to end 2 minutes before. I wanted to end when he was looking at his daughter going, right? Okay. Like, that ending she gave me, that could have been cut off. And then I feel that that character progression of him moving from being pretty much a zombie to someone who has a reason to...
to having a pulse and then reverting into a zombie. Right. Andrew, I think I understand what you're trying to say. The problem is, movies are supposed to serve some kind of purpose. They're supposed to fulfill something when you watch them. The movies convey information. They give you an insight into another person's life or situation that you have seen, or they're entertaining or fascinating, or there's something that the movie does that endears you to that movie. None of her movies does. She gives you characters and then essentially asks you to just look at these characters. The one movie that she actually went for something was Virgin Suicides, and honestly, the thing that happened in that movie, can I spoil a movie that's like
apparently,
30 years old?
Apparently that book, that movie
call it.
Apparently the movie is based on a book, and there are a lot of people that are very fervent in their view that she didn't know justice at all. So
I can't believe it.
I love the movie, but I hear that apparently that movie is crap in comparison.
What exactly in the what is there in that movie to love apart from the music?
Well, you know me, right? Music is like 95% of movies. But no, actually, like Andrew says, I mean, I wouldn't call it the mundane, but I agree with you in the sense that she spends time on details, and her movies can be said to be a little bit slow moving, but I actually really enjoy that about her movies. I mean, sometimes it's ridiculous, right? Like somewhere bordered on that, and I think she just didn't quite have her rhythm with her when she was doing Marie Antoinette.
Right.
Even though that movie was still okay, but not great.
I need to watch that movie.
But I really, really enjoy Virgin Suicides. I think that's probably my favorite film of hers.
I love Lost in Translation.
Let's
break down Lost in Translation. There is this man who is an actor who is brought to Japan to do commercials. And
yeah.
He's having marital issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this girl who is also there. And her husband is busy
Giovanni
doing work.
Ribisi, I like him.
And she can find nothing else to do in Japan except stay in her room and mope. In Japan. If she was there for a month, 2 months, 9 months, a year, then I could say, well, she's run out of shit to
no,
do.
No, but you have to realize. You have to realize. You have to realize that this is a person that has never been to. Well, I'm assuming she's never been to Japan before, right?
No,
okay, no, hold on. It depends on the personality. So this is a person who's never been to Japan before, who knows nobody in Japan.
No, she has friends.
No, she does not. Yes, her husband has friends.
She has friends by proxy. When the two marry, they become one, and she's that one or something like
whatever. Whatever, dude. No, so she really don't know that many people there.
And so she's not going outside.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? I mean, other than maybe like going to a store inside the hotel or right outside the hotel.
Fine.
I'm not saying that you or
but how many movies have we seen? Let's replace Japan with New York. How many movies have we seen where people are left alone in New York and they just stay inside their room and mope? There's never been a movie like that made. Never.
Damien.
Movie that has New York.
Damien. Hold on.
Four rooms people
hold on, wait,
stayed
stop,
in their room.
Stop. First of all, that's a bad example.
I don't care.
Damien. First of all, you have to realize that not everyone is you.
Okay.
Right. I know that if I put you in Japan, you're going to go insane.
If I put anything, you drop in a major city anywhere on the planet, it's run up and down. Are you serious?
Right.
She's there for she was supposed to be there for less than a week, because that's how long the husband shoot was supposed to last. Mm-hmm. And then he extended it. How is it that she, knowing that she's going to Japan, makes no plans? I am going to one of the greatest cities on the planet for a week. My husband won't be here. What can I do in this boring town called Japan for 1 week? I guess I don't have anything. I'm just going to stay in my room in my drawers and do nothing.
No, actually, she stays in her room in her drawers with another man. So that's something.
Also,
uh-huh,
the fact that we have someone who is unlike all of these other movies set in New York where people do madness all day, makes it different and unique.
Instead of being entertaining, you'd rather have something different and unique rather than entertaining. That's essentially what you're saying to me.
Sounds to me like David Lynch.
That because
sounds like Dogtooth to me.
No. There were a couple scenes in that movie. The dance scene was very entertaining.
No. You're essentially trying to explain away shitty decision making because so cold decided it would be more interesting if these two people were the boringest people on the planet. Right,
do you know
and
why? Do you know why? No, stop.
Then, no. You guys are trying to say that she's shy and doesn't want to go. She sees a 90-year-old man in the bar and all her inhibitions just melt
90
away.
Years
oh,
no, old.
Well, stop.
Nice
stop.
No.
Yo,
oh, you speak
you have
English?
To realize.
It's ghost. This
you have
great.
To realize that this 90-year-old man
friends.
Is. This 90-year-old man is Bill Murray, okay?
Actually, he isn't Bill Murray, but
he is the equivalent of Bill Murray.
Probably.
He actually is a movie star in
yes.
the movie.
It
okay?
doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter. Oh, you speak English? Oh,
but,
this is great.
But here, you know
no,
what? I'm, going to,
be bored
I'm going to invalidate your whole argument.
Sure.
Because do you know how, you know, that Soko, as you
mm-hmm.
call her, is great? She has songs written about her. That's how she is awesome.
I'm going to
really?
Ignore that. I'm
really?
Going to ignore
so
that right
Stevens
now.
Wrote a
Douglas,
song
no. Negative.
Those kicking you in the face.
I could bring up an argument about the real purpose of art, but I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm going to.
No. Please. No. We can cut all the other segments short. Please explain to me the real purpose of art.
There is no purpose of art.
Okay.
So,
right.
wait, hold on. So,
fine.
You are going to tell me
mm-hmm.
the real purpose of art
is that there is no purpose.
After saying that there is no purpose for art.
Mm-hmm. How does that
work? Was there something you were going to say to that?
So how does that invalidate what I have?
You started out this diatribe about
mm-hmm.
Soko
being terrible.
Right, being terrible.
Let me just put in some caveats before I go any further. She's clearly a very talented director. And she can write. Because she's written, I think, all the movies that she has directed so far. And the writing isn't bad. She definitely can direct. She probably inherited that from her father. It's just the subject matter is god-awful and makes for uninteresting movies pretty much across the board. What are you going to say?
First of all, I'm okay with you not liking our movies because
you don't have a choice.
Her movies are one of those movies where I expect people not to like it. Because just
bad.
Not because they're bad, but because of the subject matter and the way she goes about it. Anyways, when you started this diatribe about Soko and how she's terrible and all
mm-hmm.
these things, you started out with something to the effect of something about art and its purpose and its reason for being, right?
I never said that at any point.
Yes.
I said her life must have been so interesting. That is why she finds pleasure in these boring ass movies. That's
yeah,
what
I don't agree with Damon's argument, but I have to say that I don't remember anything about that either.
No. I remember some. Anyways.
Pretty sure that bear.
Maybe you never said art, but you're talking about her movies and it had no purpose or whatever. But here lies the thing, right? Art exists for no reason. Right? It exists just to exist.
Yeah, but movies exist for a reason.
No, no, no. We have created a reason for movies. No. Right?
Uh-uh.
Alright, then how do you explain Terrence Malick then?
He's a crazy bastard.
How do you explain Terry Gilliam and
Michelle? I enjoy his movies.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam, enjoy his movies.
Andrew. How do you explain most authors?
Andrew. But they make movies are supposed to, at their basis, entertain or educate.
No,
those are the only two reasons people make movies.
That's what art is about. Art is about not necessarily entertaining, but stimulating, but being liked for some reason. Now, clearly there are movies that we think are bad, but guess what? Other people like them, right? And it goes the other way around. Art is there to. I don't want to say it this way, but essentially to please the masses. If it didn't please somebody, then it, not that it wouldn't exist, but that...
Okay, hold on. I completely disagree with that set of bullshit, right?
No, not the masses, but to please somebody, someone.
First of all,
if somebody don't like it, then there's no reason to have it.
It's you're either entertaining either yourself or those around you. Or you're educating people. That's no one makes art for no reason. When I draw something, I draw it because I enjoy drawing it. It doesn't have to be for anybody else. But for me, it serves a purpose. When people were scribbling shit on the wall in Arawak days, they were doing it because they thought that millions of years later we'd look at it and be fascinated. They were doing it so that the others around them would understand what situation it was. So, entertainment and education. You can try and whittle it down and try and be esoteric all you want. There's two reasons for any kind of art. Two. And she is boring me to tears. So it's not entertaining. And she's not educating me on anything else.
So trailers this week?
No. No. I really enjoy this question because it is from a true fan of movies.
Oh boy!
This is so good.
Somehow I believe Damien this time. So good.
I have already seen all these movies. Any other movies, please?
He doesn't make a list of anything. At this point, I'd like to suggest you finally get around to watching the Twilight series. Because really,
I have already seen all. I've seen these all movies. Sorry, I have already seen these all movies. Any others?
Based on this person's
TV shows.
I can't even say that because I think that since he's seen these all movies, yes. There really are no other movies.
Yeah, you've done, son.
So
you won. One collective medal from Warner Brothers or whoever the hell it is. You're the best. You finally done it.
Well,
finally, no to trailers. Andrew's
instead. This week, trailer for this new Seth Rogen movie came out. It's called 50-50.
Is Jodha Pato attached?
Not necessarily.
Is it Green Lantern too?
No.
I don't want to see it.
And I think you mean Green Hornet, but that's fine.
Hello?
Hey, it's Adam.
Adam? What's going on?
Probably having a nervous breakdown. What are your chances?
It said 50-50.
It's not that bad. You were a casino game, you'd have the best odds.
It's what everybody's been saying. You'll feel better and don't worry and this is all fine and like it's not.
You can't change your situation. The only thing that you can change is how you choose to deal with that. What's my-
really think that a girl's gonna go for me just because I have cancer?
For the millionth time, yes!
Great song.
Totally.
I have cancer.
I was wrong. Nice it was, to meet it you. Was weird. It's yeah, weird like that.
Okay, so.
Wait. Cobra Commander is in it.
Yes, he is. So, as Damian pointed out.
Is it G.I. Joe 2? Is it a crossover?
No, it is
crossover
not.
Crossover movie. Did Sony do G.I. Joe as well?
Possibly.
This is going to be the greatest movie.
So, as Damon has pointed out, one Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in this movie, and he,
Cobra!
Okay, he, has been doing well fairly recently with his movie choices and, his performances.
I hear that special isn't very good.
Really?
So I keep reading. I think they're lying.
I refuse. I refuse to believe that.
I think they're lying bastards. I keep hearing that.
Speaking of which, I saw Gordon Levitt on Conan the other day about Hesha, and they were headbanging, you know, that Metallica sort of.
Yeah.
And he broke the table.
I need to find us on the Conan website.
Yeah.
That's a good bit. Alright.
Yeah.
Known to this trailer.
Known to this trailer. This trailer doesn't really look funny, which is what you'd expect from a Seth Rogen movie.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
Are we going there?
Really? Didn't you just say you like not the
I love
and 40-year-old virgin.
So how does it go from there to Seth Rogen movies look like terrible movies? You just said it doesn't look that funny. And then you immediately transitioned to
Seth Rogen is the reason. You guys no. You guys did not listen. No, what I said was
right.
This movie did not or not this movie. The trailer was not that funny.
Mm-hmm.
I said the trailer was not that funny, which is what you would expect mm-hmm. from a Seth Rogen movie. No. Hold on. What you guys are focusing on is the not part of that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what that sentence says is that you should expect Seth Rogen's movies to be funny, yet this one is not. Weird. That is what that sentence
So says. I'll just ignore Douglas and say my piece. You guys have mentioned
Fuck you, you're not allowed to go. My turn, damn it. So this movie, this trailer...
The indoors voice.
So yeah, this trailer is not that funny, and I would have expected funny from a Seth Rogen movie. Is that okay?
Fine.
Okay, thank you. Also, Anna Kendrick is in this movie. Now... Andrew will tell you that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not too sure because I'm not saying that I don't like Anna Kendrick. I have no ill will at all. She is pleasing to the eye. She's kind of small though.
Yes.
But
it took me a while to figure her for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, she still doesn't look very... Anyway. But I have the feeling that generally bad movies...
Come to her.
Yes.
Like up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scott Pilgrim.
No.
Yeah, I was going to.
No, how about I'm not sure exactly what the movie's name is, but something along the lines of Battle Rocket. Yes, that is the name
of
the movie.
She's in
actually.
The Twilight saga, so
there you go, there's Twilight as well.
Alright.
Right?
I'm so, on your side note.
Okay.
She had to do the shitty movies to get noticed.
I'm on your side.
So Anna Kendrick, I think that there is some potential there, but I feel like she's very one note and she is how do I put it? She is is in debate a word? Does it make sense? She is what movies want to get so that they look like they are indie.
I thought that's what Joseph Gordon-Levitt was.
Well, they went overkill on this one. Not only did they get the JGL, not only did they get the Cobra Commander.
Thank you.
No, he was looking for the shark. Cry.
But also they got Anna Kendrick. And that says to me that something is very rotten in Denmark. Actually, this movie isn't in Denmark.
I don't think it is. No. I'm sure it's somewhere in America,
so,
at least.
So there's something rotten in Cancerville. But
I see.
With that said, I'm still going to watch this movie. Shopping. Because it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I love. Seth Rogen, who I think is pretty funny. When he's not trying to be not fat and
doing not fat half-ass action movies.
So by the way, what happened to him? Because clearly in this trailer he looks fairly, you know, not thin, and he.
I'm going to chop that up to the I don't care section.
Okay. Anyway, and it has Anna Kendrick, who, no matter how much I decry her foolishness, I kind of like her too. So I'll try and watch most movies that she's in. Possibly including Twilight, but I'll watch this movie even though the trailer wasn't that great.
So you call her in debate. Guess what that means? I was caught.
Wow! shit.
The funny funny part is you guys don't know the most determining factor of this movie.
Stop.
You guys don't know who directed
it. Stop. The most determining factor.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's math. You've never seen the determining factor. If you divide any number by the determining factor, you get zero.
So ignoring you bastards, because I refuse to acknowledge how horrible what I just said was.
I'm pretty sure that number doesn't exist. I did a math degree. I don't think you can divide a number by a number and get zero.
Look,
I don't.
If you use, you see, because you didn't go far enough, you didn't get to the determining factor. Is it very high? When you get in your PhD,
I got that.
Applied mathematics.
Applied or pure?
No. Applied. Pure math doesn't really recognize.
Why would I apply mathematics? Pure mathematics is a real shit, man.
See, that is why you don't understand the term.
Right, so talking about movies, right? Talking about movies. You guys mentioned the Cobra Commando.
Cobra!
The Seth Rogen and Anna Kendrick. Mm-hmm. But the director of this movie is Jonathan Levine. And if that name doesn't sound very familiar to you guys, it's because he's the guy who directed The Wackness.
Oh shit.
Which.
Alright.
Which I really liked.
You really like the man?
The Wackness.
The Wackness?
Yes, I really like that movie.
No, I'm not going to say that movie was bad. It sounds to me like Damon is saying that.
I remember that
movie broke some records. Like, okay.
It's like he made $1 billion when he was in like 20 theaters, and then no one else watched it after that. Nope, we don't need to see this. Turns out this movie's garbage. No, you don't need to watch it. The Wackness? Hey, that sounds. No.
I just, like, when I watch this trailer, I immediately think of The Big C, which I really liked.
No, stop. You are not allowed to make a comparison. You're not allowed to make any comparison like that. Because the only reason you're comparing these two very different projects is that in both of them is somebody that has cancer.
And also,
I'm putting up two Venn diagrams here about what both movies are about, and there's a giant overlap with the cancer. They're pretty similar. I'm pretty sure.
There's also comedy in that overlap.
So.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And also,
what you're saying is that Showtime cancer.
It's a Showtime TV show.
Yes.
About a woman getting cancer and dealing with it. Right, in comedic ways. What the hell was that trailer that we just saw? Did you see a different trailer?
Listen, Precious was not in that movie. Okay.
Alright.
Wow, that's what we're really going for.
No, but that was me. That was my response to you guys.
We're vetoing all the rest of your talk for the rest of this trailer.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I like the trailer and I want to watch it, and I can't wait to see Jonathan Levine take on another movie, because I want to make certain that he actually is a good director, because I really liked what he did with The Wackness. The other trailer I want to talk about today is the teaser trailer that came out for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the Fincher film. Last year when the teaser came out for The Social Network, and literally it was just text on the screen of these people talking through Facebook chat, and I've noticed, I mean, earlier today I was going through some old Fincher trailers for movies that he has done, including The Game and why can't I remember the name of this movie right now?
Zodiac.
And I find that his initial trailer, his teaser that always comes out, it always has the same style to it, where his teaser trailer is as if it's a Soderbergh film. And I say that, it sounds really weird, but the thing I like about Steven Soderbergh is that whenever he picks a project, he never does the same movie when he picks another project. And it's not just
because... He's never done an Ocean's 11 sequel. Ever.
Or a sequel to that.
Yeah.
Give me a moment. One moment. When he comes to a project, he finds a way to make his style look completely unique to it. In The Oceans, I consider it one whole trilogy.
So essentially what you're saying is that he's never made the same movie except when he's made the same movie.
Stop.
That's what you're saying to me?
Stop.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the trip? I don't want to stop overanalyzing. We're running on short time.
Yeah, and we still like have a game
teaser
to play.
Oh, hell's yeah.
Done.
Okay. Why do you like the teaser?
Because it plays awesome music, has
thank you
really cool intercuts, and tells me it's a David Fincher movie.
Do you enjoy this teaser?
The teaser was okay.
Why do you think it's okay?
Well, I've read the book, I've watched the original movie, mm-hmm. and I hope, because this is David Fincher and I have the amount of respect that I do for him,
sure.
that he will do a better job, because even though I thought the movie was decent, mm-hmm. I didn't think that the original really was as good as it could have been, and I hope that Fincher, with his infinite skill, can do that. And this trailer looks like it could do that, but at the same time, I'm not sure, because it's really a teaser. But it does its job well. It makes me excited for the project, and therefore, based on this alone, I would watch it. And we'll see what happens there.
You still haven't seen the Swedish film, right?
No.
Okay, so what do you think of this teaser?
Alright. It looks like every other teaser that people put out all the time.
Exactly.
It's a series of clips. What is important is that this man, the director, Mr. Fincher, took a movie about Facebook, subject matter that I could not care any less about, and made not only a good, but a great movie out of possibly the worst subject matter of all time. Now, if he could do that with Facebook, only God knows what he would do with actual good subject matter. Everyone seems to enjoy this book. I've heard that the book is great. The first movie, the first Swedish movie is okay. The rest, not so much. But that director isn't named Fincher. I have 1,000% faith. The only person that I would take to direct this movie over him is doing Batman 3. The only other person. So yes, I'd like to see this.
Okay, next trailer.
Yes.
No more trailers?
Good, that means we have questions.
Okay.
It's a question.
Alright, guys. Gangsters don't ask questions.
No. Get ready. Where did James Cameron get his inspiration from to make the film Titanic?
I think it was when he was on the planet Pandora.
Right.
The story goes that he actually went on Pandora, really researching his latest film. But he was on a ship at the time, and so the technology over there isn't as well. I shouldn't say technology, but the whole animal thing and technology and whatnot isn't as weird as it was in the movie. What's the movie that he did?
I don't remember the name.
Whatever, yeah. That 3D movie that was kind of okay.
Avatar.
Sure. Thank you. And he was on a ship, and I think it sunk or it hit something. No, you know what happened? It dinged like a stone, a skipping stone in the water, and he wondered, what if that skipping stone was an iceberg? Or something that would make the ship sink. And that's really where the seed was sown. And so from that, he wrote this amazing script. It was actually incepted by Leonardo DiCaprio, which is why he was in the movie. And that was essentially the thing.
Andrew Robbins. Where did James Cameron get his inspiration?
So, before Titanic, mm-hmm. if I remember, the last movie he made was Terminator 2.
Right.
So, what happened was...
He wanted a movie that started with T.
Fair enough. To keep the T trilogy going on.
Exactly. The T trilogy.
trilogy.
I can't bother looking it up right now, but do you remember what year Titanic was?
It was like 98, right?
Something and what like year was Terminator 2? That was like 92 or something
yes.
like that, right?
Yes.
So, it was around 1997. He finally ran out of money after Terminator 2. And he got bored one day. And he took a walk. Whilst on this walk, he passed the public library. He decided to walk into the library. And he just closed his eyes, pointed in a direction, and went to that shelf. Magically pointed him to a book about Titanic, and he said, holy shit, I have an idea for another movie to keep me going for another decade, and here in comes Titanic.
I don't like the story. I don't, and the lamp does not like the story either. So Damien, what is your answer? What is your answer to this question that you have asked?
Look, it's very simple, right? He needed a movie where the Pocahontas story
okay, done.
could be transferred. Right?
Wait, stop. You do realize that Pocahontas was not this movie, right? We're talking about Titanic.
All his movies.
All his movies, even Terminator is Pocahontas.
Terminator.
And Aliens.
Dances with Wolves.
So hold on. Wait, sorry.
Pocahontas.
Wait. Okay, alright.
Stop.
I'm about to show my, I guess, ignorance. Are you saying that James Cameron directed Dances with Wolves?
No. I'm saying his inspiration comes from two movies, Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves.
Okay,
all
so
his movies
was this Point Break
movie.
Business? He
I was just naming random movies
okay.
at that point.
Okay, but I want to ask, do you think that John Connor was
Pocahontas? I'm pretty sure.
Or do you think he was John Smith? I mean, his name is John.
I think I think Sarah is Pocahontas.
So, Sarah Connor is Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
John Connor is John Smith?
John Connor is the offspring of John Smith. And the guy who comes back from time, I can't remember his written name right now, he's John Connor. He's John Smith.
Someone just asked where someone got inspiration from real life events. What the hell is wrong with these people?
She's a pixie. One night, she's the guest of honor at a glittering state reception. And the very next night...
You have my permission to withdraw.
Thank you very much.
How did this cute little surprise package wind up in Greg's apartment? That's what he's wondering, too. And wait till you see the princess let her hair down, with a whole army turning Rome upside down to find her.
Joe, we can't go running around town with a hot princess.
So moving on into our review this week, because I don't want to talk to David right now.
Roman Holiday.
Yeah, so we watched Roman Holiday this week, which, if you've never heard of it, it's a movie from the 50s starring one Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn. And Douglas, take it away.
Okay, so this movie is interesting, actually. It's a movie about a princess. Audrey Hepburn is a princess, and a British princess who is going all over Europe on kind of like a roadshow, and she ends up in Rome. And
the princess roadshow.
Well, no, that's what
it's like
it is.
The circus.
But anyway, this movie really is at the heart of it a one crazy night movie, or in this case, a one crazy day movie. So this princess who really, I guess, has gotten fed up with her life and the fact that all she's doing is promoting whatever she's promoting.
Oh, so it's a soap movie.
Yeah, exactly. She kind of runs away.
Oh, that is not awesome. Something.
She runs away by accident and has what she considers to be probably one of the best days.
She runs away by accident.
There were, you know, drugs involved. Let's not talk about that.
That's not why she ran away, sir. And how that accidental?
Oh, shut up. So she runs away.
She ends up in his bed by accident.
She runs away and she has one of the best days in her life.
She's trying to meet a princess.
And that's really the crux of the story. And most of the movie is fairly formulaic. And it's cliche, but it's one of those cliches that are cliche because they work. But at the same time, the reason why I love this movie as much as I do is difficult to say, because to tell you the truth, to say it would be spoiling the movie. But let's just say that there is, as I said, most of the movie is formulaic, but there's a piece close to the end where it kind of breaks away from the formula. And the fact that it does not go there. So, for example, when you look at this movie being a one-night movie or a one-crazy-day movie where this princess meets this man and essentially falls in love with him, you expect for there to be a section where she realizes or she finds out somehow that he already knows that she's a princess. And
they bang.
Thank you for being so crude, Andrew. But that she finds out, and then she gets upset because, you know, oh, this clearly has been a setup all along. Finds his way back into her graces, and they live happily ever after. And it really does not follow that formula. And that is probably one of the biggest reasons why I really respect this movie and I really love this movie, because it does not follow that formula at all. And I suppose the ending speaks for itself, and I won't really say exactly what happens in the ending, just to say that it's not that. And it's a good ending, but at the same time it's almost an unfulfilling ending.
I think a Mexican standoff was a bit much for the ending of that movie.
Yeah.
The doves and the slow motion.
That was really it was a touch much, I still believe that it was warranted given the situation.
Where did she get a machine gun out of her dress?
But he insulted her honor, and therefore she had to take the requisite.
Okay.
You know.
So, I agree with pretty much everything you've said, including the machine gun upper dress business.
The Hitler thing, I don't approve. That's a bit much.
However, I hate you, Douglas, because you have done one of the most horrific things you could ever have done. you decided to take one of my favorite old actors and turn him into a pansy.
But it said introducing. It was his first time.
This is the man.
This is Peck's first movie?
It was introducing Hepburn.
I know.
This is Hepburn's first movie?
Apparently. Wow. You're talking about the man who was in The Guns from Navarone. Right? This guy is an ultimate badass. He is what Clint Eastwood was before Clint Eastwood. Right?
I'm pretty sure those are fighting moments. Mr. Eastwood would appreciate you so much.
I mean, he was even amazing in To Kill a Mockingbird, which is fantastic.
Yo, I used to hate that book.
That was my favorite book in high school.
I had to read it. I was just like, yo, what the hell is up with like, this? What was his name? Boo Radley or something?
You know who played? Do you know who played Boo Radley in that movie? It was. Oh, shit. Why can't I remember his name?
Nobody.
Get Low. What was his name?
Sure. I'm not helping you.
Oh, are you talking about Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall was Boo.
Why did he help him? They would have annoyed him for like
this. IMDb is here right beside me. But yeah, Gregory Peck is fantastic. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. This movie is cliche in a good way. It's a really great romantic comedy between these people, and it has that same wit that you expect from these the movies of this age, where one person always has one up from the other one.
And you know what? There were so many minor details that were so funny. I mean, like, for example, the point where he doesn't quite know who she is yet, and she is lying on his bed, and he says, you know what? Fuck this chick. I'm going to roll up the couch right beside the bed and just push her on top of it.
And that's amazing.
Physics.
And then next morning he finds out he's like, shit. And he rolls her right back. And that's so great. Hepburn is really good in this movie. She's really funny and really enjoyable. Same as Gregory Peck. And whoever that other dude is, the photographer, I really like him. Especially when he's being pushed over by Gregory Peck continuously throughout the movie.
Yeah, there's a big business development that he has to do.
Yeah. I love the end when it comes to him. Because when he takes a picture and she realizes what was happening for the whole of the movie. I really like that point. But yeah.
I like that. Anyway, whatever. I need to stop trying to spoil this movie. Your turn, Damien.
I want to visit the reality that these people live in. Just for like a day. A place where the most beautiful woman you've ever seen is essentially drunk and throwing herself on you. And nothing happens. Like, oh, no, just...
He's a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
A right. Gentleman's.
I've watched Mad Men.
And I love the fact that the next day when she's out in public, the princess is in town. Oh, that's good. Oh, she's really pretty. That's also good.
It's not her.
Oh, it's not her. Oh, this gorgeous supermodel looking chick.
Listen, let's be clear. She did get a haircut.
I'm talking pre-haircut. You say, yeah, it kind of look like she. And I've never seen anybody that pretty anywhere near here before. I'm just going to assume that it's not her. And then, she gets her haircut, making her look even prettier. It can't be her. The princess? Nah, can't. I do love this movie. However, I'd seen this movie before. So this movie, repeat viewings of this movie, I didn't gain anything watching it again. It's just as fun.
But did it entertain you though?
No, yeah.
So then, based on our previous discussions on entertainment and art,
I'm not saying that I shouldn't have watched it. I'm just saying, usually, you know, you go back to movies and you get more out of them. Or some movies, this movie is fun. It's really fun. Entertaining.
So
anyone can watch this movie, but I was hoping I'd get like see small details and get something more out of the
So what it sounds to me like you're saying is that you are judging this movie to be a little less than perhaps others because something that cannot change
doesn't change
and doesn't give you anything extra.
No, that is not what I said. I said I was hoping that it would do that, but it didn't. And I didn't say that was a fault of the movie.
All right.
I just said I was hoping for that, and it did give me that. But the movie is still good. I still enjoyed the movie, much like I enjoyed it the first time I saw it.
So, Douglas,
mm-hmm.
I'm morbidly curious.
By the way, do you know what morbidly means? I'll take that as a no. Continue.
Okay. I don't know what it means,
that's
but I'll leave you alone.
You realize that this is a poor reflection. You're the owner. This is a direct consequence of you failing. This is your fault.
What can I say? I tried too late.
You're a terrible brother. That's
this selection is a massive departure from your usual recommendations to the podcast board.
He realized he was this close to the stabbing line and tried to get some sleep.
Don't worry.
He's trying to build up credibility.
What is it that inspired you to pick this movie over, let's say, a French film?
Well, you see... The truth of the matter is, I was looking for movies to watch, and I saw this one in my searches, and I said, you know what, I haven't watched this, it looks interesting, let me watch it. But now that you have really acknowledged or highlighted the fact that I have brought one of your... Hollywood crushes, one of your leading men, changed him from a macho and...
This is the guy from The Gunfighter.
Exactly.
You know? The Gunfighter.
I've changed a gunfighter into a pansy lover, as you would say.
Yes.
So, I actually think that I will continue this trend, and I will search for every one of your heroes, every one of your gunslingers, and I will make them.
Good luck finding a John Wayne movie that fits that bill.
And really?
Terrence Hill movie. And that Clint Eastwood movie.
Don't good even luck. Make me talk about Bridges of Madison County.
I said good luck.
I don't think we can even argue anything about this movie. Because
it's one of those. Yeah, we like this movie. Everybody on earth can watch this
it's
movie.
It's the movie that you'd be happy that your girlfriend picks to watch that night.
Look, if you're afraid of offending someone, this is as unoffensive. This movie is talking about appealing to the masses. It's the question, boy. It's the question. Come on. It's the question.
Alright,
so this is the rapid fire section of rapid fire. You will all have one answer each, no multiple answers.
Wasn't there a game
and
when we were younger called Rapid Fire that was like advertised?
Let's listen to
Damon.
Damon is talking.
Okay.
Name of a movie about two Earths.
A name of a movie about two Earths?
Name of movie.
Do you have to be a movie or can it be any sort of movie slash TV show?
So answer the question.
When you say two Earths, do you mean Earth or do you mean two planets?
Two Earths. That is the question that is being asked.
Lost.
Okay.
That's not a movie.
Answer the question.
That's why I asked whether it could be a movie slash TV show.
I guess I'll just say another Earth.
And you have lost a point for actually answering. IMDb would have told you that, you lunatic. Alright. I saw this movie on TV. It was about a young girl whose mother died and she went to live with her aunt. And like her aunt abuses her and like burns her vagina off with a blowtorch. and it was horrible. They carved whore into her stomach. What movie?
I know that movie. I actually know what that movie is.
You do? What movie is that?
I believe that's An American Crime.
Okay, that's very good. That movie is called A Movie I Will Never Watch. You know why? Because it has heart. That movie has heart. I know it does. That woman, whoever it was that got her hoo-ha blown off, was she overcame. I'm sure she overcame, and therefore too much heart for me.
All right. All right. Okay.
She overcame.
She overcame that shit. She like fucking taught.
Stop. Looking for a film that has meaning, or a twist, or even a film that will make me chuckle. Any suggestions? I'm 16, by the way, so nothing like Toy Story. Sad face.
Andrew,
I think at this point all I have to tell her is to go watch Antichrist, because
yeah.
I don't know what to tell her after she says don't mention Toy Story.
Well, Douglas. Okay, if Toy Story is out of the question, yes. And remind me, what does this person want exactly?
A film that has meaning, or a twist, or even a film that will make her chuckle.
So either, right? Meaning, or a twist, or a chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that Child's Play gives you all of those things.
That was very easy. Okay. Catch Me If You Can. Movie or musical?
In my mind, it's a musical.
In my mind, it is. It's so much more than either of those. It isn't a musical. It isn't really a movie.
Is it a movie or a musical? Let's get this straight. Is it a movie or a musical?
It is... what's the word? Diatribe is not it, but I don't know. Maybe my drunk mind just cannot fathom the word. It is a tribute to both, what you could become.
You both get 0 points for that. You for actually answering. And you for not coming up with anything. Alright. What's a movie name with porno scenes having sex and a guy appears with a yellow t-shirt with Omega sign?
It's called My Dick Looks Really Big and She Decided to Have Sex With It.
Can you repeat the question?
What's a movie name with porno scenes having sex and a guy appears with a yellow t-shirt with Omega sign?
The name of that movie is Beta Blocker.
Alright.
Beta
Blocker. Alright. And this question, the winner wins. It's not movie related, but it is terrific. And it will be our final question. Douglas, you're ahead by 3 points. Andrew, I don't know what the hell.
So, do I get 3 points if I get this question?
If you answer this, if anyone who gets this wins, it's 5 points.
Okay. 5 points. Good stuff. I have a chance.
Yahoo Answers. User. Stacy has a question. Do you approve of genital mutilation?
Do I approve of genital mutilation?
It is a very simple question.
You're ahead. You have to go first.
Yes.
The quick answer is yes.
I think that when you really look at it, you realize how wrong it is. So, I'm going to say, sure, go ahead.
All right, so you both get 0 points. And that's you not come up with anything. Why are you answering this question like logic? Who would write that on him? Why would you do that? You guys you need to look past the questions and mock the person asking these questions. That is where the true humor lies. What is wrong with
that? I don't think you explained this game well enough.
I'm pretty sure I explained.
It was pretty clear what they
were
coming up with.
There is a question that says, I have already seen these all movies. Any other piece? You got that one.
So at this point, I guess it's best just to say goodnight. Yes. Douglas wins, so he gets to say the outro. Yeah.
Well, thank you. You know what? It's just like that TV show. Whose line is it anyway? Thank you very much, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well,
say the outro.
You two are just as funny as that show.
Thank you very much. Because I'm sure we are. Yeah.
Pretty sad.
Wait, is there any sort of theme that I have to say the outro to? Like,
just fucking say the outro.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. You can, of course, find our podcast at gmanreviews.com or itunes.com or The Podcast Alley. You can, if you would like to follow Andrew, you can follow Andrew on Twitter at his name is G-Man Reviews, and his Facebook page is facebook.com/G-Man Reviews. You can follow me on Twitter. I am DJR Lost His Name. Similarly, on Facebook, if you would like to friend me, I am facebook.com/DJR Lost His Name. Wow. Also, you can see my fairly recent updates at mashbits.com and the decaffeination decaffeinationreport.com.
You can blame it on work now, though. You can blame it on work.
And Damien, really, you can't follow anywhere. He's on Buzz, to tell you the truth. Damien White at gmail.com. And that's White with a Y, because he spells his name crazily.
Bye.
I don't know what to spell. It's simple as that. But anyway, we thank you for listening, and please listen some more. And that's it for us tonight. Good night. You know, I tried to.